This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
United States has gone so far as to say, since this latest event, that in fact he will not cooperate in any way at all, will not list any witnesses, will not provide any information, will not do anything to cooperate with the impeachment. They have no choice but to move.
Women have been given the responsibility to perpetuate the human species. Our bodies were created to do that. And it does not give any other person the right to tell a woman what to do with that body. It is her body. It is her right. It is her decision.
Senator Harris, thank you.
It was the Democrats' night to debate in Ohio. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting from Ohio, although I'm here to speak, and I'm not in Westerville, Ohio. I'm in Columbus, Ohio, not too far away. In fact, the hotel where I am booked solid, and there's a lot of political types running around. I'll say that, and I saw that when I flew into Columbus. So in watching the Democratic debate, what were the issues? The same things that we've been hearing over and over again, of course, Syria, impeachment, abortion, and you heard at the top there was some protest. That's not a shock. And you heard Joe Biden talking about impeachment and Kamala Harris and Syria saying, you know, stop this madness. There's always, whenever you have these debates, who's the winner, who's losing, who's slipping away, because you had 12 candidates that were there on the stage. And while you see the president at Pennsylvania Avenue fending off some of these challenges with this impeachment inquiry and what happens when we spring into 2020, for the Democrats, the first thing they're focusing on is narrowing down the pack and deciding ultimately, because we're 100 some days away from Iowa, so you start to get a little bit more serious and pay attention to what people are saying, this field will narrow. And to me, I think, who's going to be in this group where you've got Joe Biden, who still has a big lead? You have questions about health. In fact, that came up for every single person on the stage who was older, which would be Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, who had a heart attack. And, you know, you had Biden and Warren going after each other. You had a lot of people trying to gobble up Elizabeth Warren from what I could see. And you had Bernie Sanders, who said he's up to the stress of the presidency after suffering that heart attack this month. He said, I'm healthy, I'm feeling great. He canceled some campaign events. He's 78. He had undergone surgery, so the thought is perhaps this hurts him. You had Beto O'Rourke and Tulsi Gabbard not getting a ton of airspace. Like I said, Elizabeth Warren used the debate to make lots of statements, including about the Middle East, and that's probably going to get some attention, I would assume, from Republicans. She said, I think we ought to get out of the Middle East. When they were talking about Turkey's invasion of northern Syria, some Democrats will have something to say about that. Instead, I don't think we should have troops in the Middle East, but we have to do it the right way, the smart way. And then, of course, there was the push for more specifics and not broad strokes. Joe Biden came out certainly with a big bat on Donald Trump's decision to withdraw troops from Syria, which was the opposite of Elizabeth Warren, but didn't answer a direct question. Would he, as president, place special forces or troops back in that area? Biden said Trump's decision was the most shameful thing any president has done in modern history in terms of foreign policy, and he stood his ground pretty much on that. There's no question, if you want my analysis of what I saw coming out of the spin, coming out of Westerville, Ohio, is Elizabeth Warren has the paintball target painted on her back. that there's some areas where she's going to be getting attacked again and again and again and again and again. So whether it's wealth distribution, you know, whatever it is, there were some comebacks that were, I think, pretty interesting. And, of course, so much of what happened across the board was billionaires on trial. Tax the rich, tax the rich. That's the one thing everybody agreed on. They kept saying that. Bernie Sanders took a question, just squarely said, did he believe that billionaires should be taxed out of existence? And he didn't say that, but he did say that the country couldn't afford to continue this level of income and wealth in equality. So there you have it. You had Kamala Harris. You heard her at the top. She got, I think, one of the most rounds of applause for raising the level of how she felt about abortion when she was asked to weigh in on that and said it was really the poor women who were suffering who would bear the brunt of it. I'm just summarizing this. And in the end, you know, it's 12 candidates. Amy Klobuchar, the Democrat from Minnesota, she looked a little bit better. So 12 are still in Ohio, while the president fends off accusers when it comes to what's happening with the impeachment procedure. So interesting that that's going on while the Democrats, you know, have that, I call it the political dog and pony show, because that's what it feels like, especially when you have that super, super giant field that has to narrow, and they know it has to narrow, and I think that's why certain people end up being targets, depending on, I think, how they've done recently, you know, with the media, etc. If they're getting a ton of attention, then that makes a huge difference. All right, I have to say this at the top, because we all know that Mr. Kate Delaney, a.k.a. my husband, who's been just awesome during this period of the show traveling, me traveling, that he is a taco hound, and he wanted to make sure that all of you knew this, because he knows this listening audience when it comes to food. Taco Bell had to recall 2.3 million pounds of seasoned beef. And think about it, because there's so many giveaways at games, etc., for free tacos if somebody does whatever they do, score X amount of points. But 21 states affected with this 2.3 million pounds of seasoned beef. So isn't that interesting? Where's the beef with the politicians, and where's the beef that's good enough to eat when it comes to Taco Bell? And according to Taco Bell, the product was produced at one plant, it just shows you, one plant location on only one of the two lines used to make the beef, and was sent to distribution centers in Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Virginia. But that's the food industry, and that's safety, and that's what happened. The company said it told affected restaurants, stop serving the beef until we replenish this reply. And it was really a few days ago that they said restaurants in some states were asking customers to try chicken or steak in their burritos because of quality concerns. So they were already temporarily stopping serving the beef. All right, as we move along here on the show coming up next, what did the president have to say about impeachment? He made a statement today, and not just over Twitter, so I'm going to let you hear that, of course. And then a little bit more on, you know, the Democratic debate. Who is the strongest and who are the weakest candidates? And boy, I'll tell you, it's hard really handicapping this, because every time somebody becomes the different target. That's all I'll say. All right, I'll meet you on the flip side.
No murder, and the judge's gavel fell. Jury found him.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
China's happening. Mexico, Canada's happening. If they can ever get it approved, I doubt they will because it's Nancy Pelosi. They're too busy working on impeachment. And by the way, we just hit the greatest economy we've ever had. Let's impeach the president. Isn't that a good idea? I wouldn't worry about it, fellas. I wouldn't worry about it.
The alleged offense by the president is clearly serious enough to warrant an investigation by Congress. And that is exactly what the House of Representatives is doing in its impeachment inquiry. And it must continue unimpeded. The matter at the heart of the inquiry concerns the very integrity of our democratic elections, and it must be investigated thoroughly, completely, and in a nonpartisan manner.
Kate Delaney once again broadcasting from Columbus, Ohio. The buzz here is, of course, over the Democratic debate in Westerville, Ohio. Many of the people in this area very conservative. The candidates, the Democrats anyway, talked about taking Ohio back. The hotel where I'm staying has been kind of mobbed with various people who are here for political reasons and then other people who are here for the convention where I am speaking. So pretty interesting to watch this up close and personal. The debate, Elizabeth Warren took some shots from her rivals. I mentioned that already. Joe Biden didn't answer the Ukraine question. And of course, what you just heard there wasn't the Democratic debate. It was the president talking about impeachment. Don't worry about it. The inquiry. And then Chuck Schumer's thoughts on the process, too. And the Democrats are being very dogged on pushing this impeachment as forward as much as possible, as much as they can. But we've said this before, what does it take to really be able to take any president down on impeachment? And the answer is, if you look at our history, we have not had a lot of presidents that have been impeached, which does not suggest if there was enough hardcore evidence. But we go back to the same speculation that you've heard me on this show say again and again. And I hate that. I hate that. It's like I'm Madame Cleo and I'm looking into a crystal ball. And though I have some great contacts, even there at a loss for what's going to happen here. We look historically and think at what kind of evidence are we talking about, second, third hand, and what does that mean, and what does the call mean, and all of that that it entails. To me, it's about moving the ball forward. So the question with Donald Trump is, he, you know, blasted the Democrats. You had the 12-pack live. You had Warren taking the heat, a little bit of the heat perhaps off of the president, because some of the focus was there. And this whole impeachment deal is certainly cracking into the inner circle of Trump's life, because you've got many who are being questioned as to, okay, what did they know and when did they know it? And we certainly know one of them that is always under fire is Mike Mulvaney, the acting, you know, chief of staff, who dodges and digs in and moves in different directions. So the inner circle, or the former inner circle, what happens with them? And subpoenas are being really flung around like frisbees on a warm summer day. And the White House, the Pentagon, Rudy Giuliani, all rejected House subpoenas. Subpoenas compelling you to open up, I'll say. Open up. Tell us what's really going on. I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to be Madam Cleo and we have to read the tea leaves and we have to speculate and we have people on who are talking heads and they talk about what they believe will happen, but do they know more than you and I do? And I have some great sources on the Hill, and we are all just speculating. But we're not speculating on the subpoenas. That definitely happened. They all refused to comply with the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry subpoenas. Democrats set a Tuesday deadline for Defense Secretary Mark Esper, Giuliani, and the White House Office of Management and Budget to turn over documents related to the Ukraine. You have three House committees also requested VP Pence hand over documents by Tuesday. So lots of refusals here, letters from attorneys. Democrats are leading the impeachment inquiry into whether the president abused his office when he urged Ukraine to look into the Democratic presidential candidate and former VP Joe Biden. This was back in July over a phone call with the Ukrainian president. So now, as part of the investigation, the Oversight and Reform, Intelligence and Foreign Affairs committees have to get these documents and communications and line them all up. And supposedly there's an insane amount of those. Nancy Pelosi last week said that the administration refused to cooperate with the request for documents. And sure enough, this is, you know, what we've seen here. But there have been current former officials that have testified privately to the House committees leading the impeachment investigation, alleging now that Giuliani and others were conducting a shadow influence campaign, if you will, in the Ukraine that undermined official channels. And that's the key thing. That's the key portion of this. And who is the whistleblower? The mysterious whistleblower, was it secondhand information, third hand? You know, that's what I heard from somebody at the Pentagon. That the speculation was, or the speculation from somebody I know, is this was maybe a weird stumble phone call wise, but it isn't as big of a stumble as it's being made out to be. So time will tell, my friends, if these commemorative coins with the president's face on it are worth more or they're worth less. But it certainly has been a rabid, insatiable, I think, last couple of months for people to absorb all things Donald Trump, meaning what's happening in his world, whether it comes down to tweeting or whether it comes down to what's happening with impeachment, the whistleblower. I mean, every single week it's something different, but there's significance here. I think we could all agree, whether we are right of right, left of left, or like I'm famous for saying, somewhere in between, If the evidence is there, show us the evidence. If the evidence isn't there and it's a wild goose chase and a hunt and doesn't make any sense, then let it go. I mean, because ultimately, would the Democrats be any better than the Republicans they criticize if they take a hammer and swing it and don't really check themselves when they look at the hammer? Are they not looking at it objectively? Wow. All right, and I have to bring this up because it's a slice of history, and speaking of that, we've got some interesting guests coming up here on the show. One of my favorites, in fact, General Romeo Dallaire, if you haven't heard him, think Rwanda and genocide. And I mean, I'll tell you, this guy got me very, very teary-eyed in our conversation, thinking of some of the atrocities that we had no idea that were even going on under our noses, or we knew, but did we know how awful, honestly, it really, really was? So we're going to have that conversation with him, and he's very forthright, very honest, and I wanted this to be a special re-rack for everybody out there when we think about war, as we're seeing what's going on with Turkey attacking in the Kurds in Syria. And what does that mean for us? If you listen to Joe Biden during the debate, you would think ISIS was under the couch right now at your house. I mean, seriously, he said, they run amok, and who knows, we're the target, that intended target. Yikes. All right, speaking of intended targets, I'm going to veer again here as I give you a little slice of life. The U.S. men's soccer team lost to Canada for the first time in 34 years. 34 years! Yep, they allowed a second half goals to a couple of players, so 2-0. Wow. So a little over 2 years, if I'm right about my clock on this, after the Americans failed to qualify for the 2018 World Cup when they lost, remember, at Trinidad and Tobago, they saw their 17-match unbeaten streak against our northern neighbor, which is Canada, come to an end. What is happening there? How is that possible when you think of all the talent that is loaded onto that team? Very, 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 I think, surprising when I look at that. Incredibly, you know, surprising. All right, as I said, we're going to veer in a couple of different quick directions and talk about a few other things that are happening, but I always say that America Tonight is your stomping ground. You can send me your thoughts at katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com, and the thoughts are on the Democrats, what they talked about, and what happens when they leave Westerville, Ohio. All right, coming up next, an incredible conversation with the general who saw some atrocities no one should see in Rwanda.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Once again, the Democratic presidential candidates are having a debate. One of the topics was the conflict in Syria and how that affects foreign relations. Secretary Julian Castro.
You know, I also want people to thank the folks this week that saw those images of ISIS prisoners running free to think about how absurd it is that this president is caging kids on the border and effectively letting ISIS prisoners run free.
Also responding, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
What this president has done shows that American leadership shapes the behavior of our allies, or sometimes allies too. Remember, the problem right now is not just that with our competitors. And, for example, a place like China, the people of Hong Kong rise up for democracy and don't get a peep of support from the president. It's not just the behavior of adversaries like Russia, but our one-time allies.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
We are the inscription invisible on the hero's memorial. Locked in cerebral manacles, we rattle our brains on his intellect. How do you embalm a phantom?
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to this show somebody who fought so hard for human rights and saw so many atrocities. And I think you know his name. He's very, very well known for some of the wonderful things that he's done since that time. But he's the UN force commander for Rwanda. Romeo Dallaire joins us now. General, it is such a pleasure to have you on this show. And so many people have now talked about Rwanda and how come more wasn't done and how come more people didn't pay attention and what was the United States' role in what happened. And you wrote 2 best-selling books, Shake Hands with the Devil, and They Fought Like Soldiers, They Die Like Children. And, you know, you're working on a book about post-traumatic stress disorder. For you, when you stepped, if we take you back there, when we stepped back to Rwanda, did you realize what you were going to encounter with your peacekeeping forces?
That's an absolutely outstanding question to ask. You sort of say, if I did, what kind of a nutball would want to go into something so horrific as that? There was in the UN at the time an explosion of peacekeeping missions. Remember, the Cold War ended not long before that, and we had the Gulf War, yes, but everybody was expecting. In fact, George Bush Sr. said that we were entering a new world order. Remember, people were talking about peace dividend, and we don't need militaries anymore, and the whole world's going to be nice, and all that kind of stuff. Well, all all of a sudden, all these civil wars and imploding nations and failing states started to appear, where they were trying to get rid of dictators and trying to bring democracy and all kinds of stuff like this and human rights and the like. And so at the UN headquarters, they went from, you know, four or five long-standing, reasonably cheesy Chapter 6 missions of observing conflicts that had been resolved for a long time but needed a referee to keep it going. We exploded into 15 to 16 missions in a matter of less than a year. And so Rwanda was a really small little project. They had been having problems in Cambodia. They had been problems in, by then, ex-Yugoslavia. And so they were hoping that this would be a success story so that they could re-encourage people to continue to support peacekeeping. And so I was to do it on the cheap. People thought we would be able to pull it off and that people really wanted peace. And what really suckered us in was the fact that that over-optimistic demand of the UN to try to get something positive on the books completely, well, ignored, I would even go as far as to say, the fact that there was strong extremism on the side of one of the ethnic groups, the ones in power, that they were not, in the end, ever going to reconcile with these other ethnic groups, and they did not want to share power. And then the whole thing went to hell.
And, you know, and obviously you saw, as I mentioned before, there's no great way to describe it, just so many bodies, so much atrocity, so much murder, just a horrific scene. But one thing that isn't talked about very much, there was actually hundreds of thousands of people, am I right, that were saved?
Well, the way it worked out was is that In fact, it's working out still today when you see Iraq and Syria and so on. The civilian population are now both the targets and the prize in civil wars. And so each side will try to maneuver as much as it can of the population for its own power base and negotiating base for the future. And so the extremists were moved just under 4 million people. And told them of the other ethnic group, the Tutsis, as they were doing it. So they slaughtered 800,000 as they moved 4 million and left about another close to a million injured or sick because of HIV/AIDS and so on along the way. So that massive movement happened. Where we were able to intervene was the fact that they wanted them all outside of the country, in the periphery, like in the Congo and Tanzania, so that they would negotiate their return. They wanted a scorched earth for the rebels and by actually moving the population completely. Well, we were able to prevent 1.6 million from actually leaving the country by proving that we could protect them. But the real in-your-face protection happened around the capital, where we were able, you know, on five sites to protect 32,000 who were in immediate danger of being slaughtered. In fact, one contingent withdrew before it got orders to do so from us, but its country told them to pull out, and about 4,000 were slaughtered in a matter of hours.
Wow. So then you come back from what happens in Rwanda, and eventually people are certainly seeking you out, wanting to know what happened. All of that is more is revealed. But you're dealing with the post-traumatic, you know, stress of it all. And now we talk about that term a lot more. But when you had the post-traumatic stress, it wasn't discussed as much. How difficult, obviously, was that for you to process all of what you had seen?
Well, I had already, the war had ended on the 18th of July, and it was essentially the population was completely destabilized. I mean, there were bodies all over the place and so on. But the actual fighting had ended, so it was time for people to come back. And I, at that time, had completely burned myself out to the extent where I had asked to be relieved because I was becoming a liability to my mission. I just couldn't couldn't handle all these people coming back and complaining that the place was a mess. They were still finding bodies after we had ran out of food, water, medical supplies. We ran out of ammunition. So I sort of broke down and asked to be relieved, and then went back to Canada and was made deputy commander of the Canadian Army. At a time of massive budget cuts, you guys were going through the same things in the States. General Sullivan was doing miracles there in the States with the U.S. Army. And at that time, the word was, you know, welcome back to the real world. There's lots of work to be done here. And with time and hard work, all this will disappear from your mind. That was the theory. Of the time, which in fact was exactly the contrary to trying to heal this wound, because post-traumatic stress disorder is what we call an operational stress injury. We even use it now with our first responders in Canada. And so it's an honorable injury between the 2 years that has both physical and psychological impact, of course. Physical meaning the brain, some of the circuitry gets shot to hell. But in this sort of process, I knew there was something wrong because of not sleeping and all of the horrors were coming back on, but didn't realize that this was an injury, and it took some pretty significant events that made me all of a sudden be quite conscious that I needed some real serious help. And the system at the time was not structured. We didn't have Vietnam like you had, where you had so many psychological casualties. And so nobody knew exactly what to do with this. And so we were getting suicides by the barrelful. And so I went public as a general, still serving, that I was injured, that I felt there's a whole bunch of walking wounded amongst us, and because of these ethical and moral and legal dilemmas we face in these complex and ambiguous missions that are given to us, that if we don't do something, we're going to continue to see guys, mostly guys and some girls, yes, killing themselves, destroying their families, beating up their wives and kids, into drugs, booze, and God knows what else. And so by going public, it took nearly 3 years to bring that about. I went to the United States to White River Junction in Vermont, where you have a huge clinic there on PTSD. And the head of it is a Dr. Matthew Friedman, an extraordinary guy. His wife was a nurse in a MASH in Vietnam. And I said, listen, we got nothing. We need your help, and can you help us? And he said, we're going to help you because we don't want you to go through what we went through in Vietnam. And I said, what was that? He said, the Vietnam War by then had been over for 22 years. He said that there are over 58,000 names on that magnificent monument in Washington. But they had on their books at the time, those were only the ones registered, on their books over 102,000 suicides. Directly related to Vietnam. So what you guys are feeling now and what we're feeling with Iraq on suicide and so on is still, it's not the tip of the iceberg, a reality that these wars keep killing. And these injuries, like operational stress injury, can be terminal. And so that's a dimension that we're still fighting very strong here to get people to realize.
We're speaking with former UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire, and we'll continue with this conversation in just a minute on America Tonight.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on.
So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive. The list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
With UN Force Commander for Rwanda, Romeo Dallaire. We're talking about some really important things. So many of you out there that have called us who have served in former wars and know what post-traumatic stress syndrome is like, we're talking about that. And General, one of the things that you talk about, and boy, we talk about a lot on this show, and I know there are lots of other people that try to peel back the cover on this or take those layers down, whatever is the great terminology to put it. But why is it that we see, and maybe I'm answering my own question, but it seems that governments certainly rank economic and political interest way above humanity, because we see that there are many other atrocities happening in the world and not enough people to move the mountains to help those folks. When you see that in other lands, how disturbing is that to you?
You live a constant frustration of knowing that a conflict went catastrophic, that was preventable, but was not, in fact, prevented because of self-interest, because it wasn't on somebody's radar screen, because there were no resources, and the only thing that was there were human beings. And as in Rwanda, I was told by one country, you know, we're not coming in to give you any resources because The only thing that's here are human beings, and there are too many anyways. It's overpopulated. So the human being is still, in too many cases, the lowest common denominator. And we become all excited when we see a sort of incident happen, like with the Syrian refugees. I'm just back from Jordan from my work with child soldiers in the refugee camps. And so you get this child, the picture of the child that drowned, and the media go absolutely totally committed to it. And then all of a sudden we get the emotional, spontaneous responses from governments to a problem that 4 years ago, if we had intervened properly under responsibility to protect, we could have avoided this thing from happening in the first place. So I think that we are now at a time where we are more culpable of ineptness and lack of statesmanship and sense of humanity than we were in the early 90s when we were stumbling into this whole new realm of imploding nations and failing states and civil wars. And so the reason I hold people more culpable is that we do have tools that we finally have adjusted from our experiences in certain conflicts, plus the introduction of the concept of responsibility to protect that says if a country is massively abusing the human rights of its people, we have a responsibility to go in and protect the people. Not do a regime change, not go away and blow away Gaddafi, but in fact protect these people and prevent them from, in fact, being martyred by the governments and find other options for the government to play with. Well, we don't want to operationalize it. We don't want to take casualties. We don't want to get suckered into these problems. And so if the developed countries, and I hold very much the middle powers, the Germanys, the Canadas, the Japans, the ones who've got a lot of capability but are sitting on their hands waiting for you guys, the United States, to get set up, to be hauled into these things, and then be held accountable for if things don't go well enough. Until these people start reacting in a humanitarian fashion that does reflect a responsibility to protect, because in the end, there isn't a conflict in the world that's not going to affect us by home, by pandemics out of the refugee camps, by extremism and terrorism's going to come out of the rage of a lot of these people in these displaced camps and so on, by the not having the availability of the special resources like Coltan, you know, the Congo as an example, and by influencing our diasporas back home, who are still locked in and get suckered into different things. And look at the recruitment that's going on even on the radicalization of our youth with ISIS. So we are myopic in our look at what conflict is overseas, because we're still looking at it with lenses of 50 years ago, where in fact anything that goes on overseas is only about 12 hours from a sophisticated bus ride in a plane.
Yeah, to put it that way, boy, it really puts it into perspective. I'd be remiss not to... I know that you're passionate about this. You're a big advocate for ending the use of child soldiers. You just mentioned what we see that's happening with younger people as far as ISIS. But soldiers themselves, turning children into soldiers, and you've started an initiative for that that's very personal. Tell us about it.
What I did is in 2004, I had been medically released from the forces and had been working on war-affected children in the international development side of the house. I got a fellowship at Harvard at the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at the Kennedy School and did a research paper on child soldiers because I wanted to prove that the slaughter of the 800,000 in Rwanda was done mostly by young people who had been suckered in by a political group that had shifted them from being a youth movement into a militia, and a vicious militia. And so since then, I've built a program. It's now at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we're based at out of, where we go in prevention of the recruitment of child soldiers. We're not into rehabilitation, reintegration. That's picking up the pieces of those that do survive. Many of them don't. And so what we do is we're into countries, at the invitation of the countries, we go into their school system, and with pedagogical tools like local comic books built by ex-child soldiers and so on, and we teach the kids not to get suckered in, and we influence the parents to protect them in a different way than before. And on the second side, which is now the more dynamic one, is we train military and police in how to de-escalate confrontations with child soldiers, and in fact how to be able to neutralize them as a weapon system on the battlefield and make them a liability for those who want to recruit them. And so we've recently produced, in fact, the standing operating procedures for NATO, where we'll be training commands and so on. The African Union has asked us to do the same for them. We are engaged in countries from Colombia right through, soon we'll be going to Myanmar, helping them prevent the recruitment of children, and in so doing, not only preventing their effectiveness by other means than simply killing them, which is in everybody's doctrine now, they just treat them as another belligerent. We've offered them a whole new doctrinal framework that that they can use, and tactics to be used. But we also are into the business of influencing the thinking of those countries in regards to wanting to use children as weapons of war.
Wow. Romeo Dallaire, thanks for all you do to make the world a better place. And if anybody wants to help, what would you tell them?
Go to childsoldiers.org.
Childsoldiers.org. Thanks, Romeo. Thank you so much.
All the best to you.
Wow, what a treat to get a chance to speak to this incredible man, Dallaire, and what he witnessed. And if you watch the movie Hotel Rwanda, and it's a movie, but the movie does do an incredible portrayal of what he saw, and he is heavily featured in that. Of course, he's played by the actor Nick Nolte, who, you know, you think about it, he was the acting Canadian colonel sent to oversee the UN forces in Rwanda, and then stumbled upon some of the most horrific things one could ever see is what we described. We know the numbers are crazy. He mentioned them. More than 800,000 Rwandans were killed in the genocide, and there was pleading and begging, including the general himself, for more troops and help. And they didn't come. They didn't come until it was much too late. And finally it all ended. But boy, what happened in between was just unbelievable, unspeakable horrors. So stay with us. Much more coming your way on America Tonight. Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.